a.m. on Wednesday, September 26th. I always struggle with what day it is every morning, but it is Wednesday, September 26th, and this is Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on BusinessRadioX.com, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. You can learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett, and my co-host Elizabeth Gordon is running around Singapore. Hopefully she's not getting arrested for chewing gum on the street or anything.
So you're on the Discovery Channel.
I know. We might. We have to be careful. So sitting in, sort of unwittingly, he just showed up this morning and I said, hey, guess what? Your co-hosting is Dan Williams from Central Atlanta Progress. So good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Hey, hey.
Thank you for being a good sport. He's a regular, so he knows how it goes around here. We just roll with whatever happens. Meanwhile, we have a really interesting show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about some really interesting buildings here in Atlanta. And our guests are Sarah Elizabeth Lankford.
Good morning.
Good morning. From National Church Residences. Did I get that right?
Exactly.
And Jeremy Copples from Boxer Properties. Good morning.
Glad to have
you. I love it. So, before we get into what they're doing in their buildings, and I make sure you can hear them and all that good stuff, we, as always, are going to hit some of the business headlines, both afar and here in town. And so before we jump into Atlanta and Georgia and all that, I just have to mention, I always like to do book-related stories because my own background in the publishing world. It looks like Walmart and Target have both decided to stop selling Kindles in their stores, which I thought was kind of an interesting decision. And I always love this. Walmart was open about it. They did it because of pricing. They want to be able to give their customers like everything for $3 or less, I think. You know, it might as well just be called the $3 store. And Target just didn't even give a reason. Target just was like, oh, okay, Walmart's not doing it. Sweet. We don't have to do it either, you know, which I love because, you know, they just, it's not about the consumer anymore. It's just all about, the, you know, I guess it's business and it's all about money at the end of the day.
But. Well, isn't, I mean, the Kindle's an Amazon thing, right?
It is.
And Amazon is just Walmart on the internet, right?
Right. And they are all competing with each other. So it was interesting that they were selling it in the first place. Somebody savvy from Amazon made a good deal on that. Yeah. But the thing is, you can still buy them in the physical world because even though Walmart and Target aren't going to carry them, I believe the office places like the Office Depots and Staples and whatnot are still going to carry them. So isn't that going to just drive that physical business over to the office stores? I don't know.
We'll see.
I guess I got to get my Kindle on Amazon.
Who's got the NBA at this table? Not I.
I know, really. Any NBAs here? Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see if it makes any dent at all. There was a note in the story about, you know, Amazon might hurt from that. I don't think so. I don't think Amazon could care less is what I'm thinking. But I could be wrong.
They'll
just don't
find
think
a
they
way
care.
To survive.
I think so, too. Yeah. The people that work for Amazon will not all of a sudden be eating Kraft macaroni and cheese and living in, you know, a cardboard box on their mother's lawn. You know, that's, I don't think that's going to happen. So anyway, just an interesting note. If you were going to buy a Kindle at one of those stores, go do it now because they're going to sell them until supplies run out, I think is the way that's going to happen. All right. Moving on to Atlanta specific news. I just want to figure out what order. How quickly do I want to rile up Dan is what's going on.
Let's
here next.
Let's do it.
Let's get it on.
I think I'm going to hold off on the riling story. Let's go with a positive story first. So the Westin Peachtree Plaza, which is the one with the Sundial restaurant, the kind of circular building that you can't really miss in our skyline.
John Portman building.
Correct. That I think it's certainly back in when I moved to Atlanta back 20 years ago or something, it was like the place you had to go see. You had to go to the Sundial and you had to go see that. And it was the tallest building, I think. And anyway, it's getting a $45 million renovation. Yeah. So somebody's going to spend some money.
We've got some serious keeping up with the Joneses in the Peachtree Hotel District.
It's, yeah.
It's this past 5 years or so, they've all had some pretty spectacular renovations. So, yeah. And that building has had some renovations already of its own. So, I mean, this is probably just going to be, yeah, I can only imagine what they've got up their sleeve.
But. Well, it's interesting because I like to talk about hotel stuff too, just because we also have a show on the station called Southern Hospitality where we talk about the hospitality industry. So I'm always kind of interested in that news. And any investment like that in our city is really positive,
sure.
You know, and we already have such a booming hotel, like you said, sort of district down here and convention business and whatever that,
right.
You know, they do have to kind of stay competitive.
Oh, they, I mean, they're right across the street from somebody that's got something, you know, this and that and, you know, you know, the Hyatt and the Marriott and all these places have just had just really gorgeous renovations in the last few years. So
yeah, and this building is so iconic. I think it'll be really interesting to see what they do with it. I think they're talking about like doing an Art Deco kind of style.
Wow.
And yeah, so it should be pretty interesting. They've got their designers all picked out, and they're moving forward. I mean, they're also, I thought this was kind of interesting, they're adding 5 rooms.
Like, why 5?
Right. Well, so, like, it'll make it a total of 1,073 rooms. Like, that 5 rooms is somehow going to make the revenue difference.
Are they special?
I don't know. Like, why wouldn't you just keep the other 1,060-something rooms a little bit bigger? Why do you have to squeeze 5 more rooms in?
It's all about scheduled income.
Yeah, it's just so interesting. It's like on those...
Ah, we do have an MBA at the table.
Okay, now we know what's going on here.
So those going to be the cheapest rooms or the most expensive
That's
rooms?
A very good question. I don't know. And I don't know if they're going to be tiny or big, or if they're suites, or if they're getting rid of a public space to create them, or if they're shrinking other rooms, or unclear.
I would imagine that's hard to retrofit.
Though I will say this, the renovation also, they say, features all of the guest rooms are being redesigned along with the hallways. And get this, a $2 million of the 45 is going to the exclusive 6 luxury suites located on the top floors.
Nice.
Wow.
I want to stay in one of those. Dan, can you hook us up?
Dan.
Absolutely. I $6,000 to Central Atlanta Progress a year. It's more than likely.
Make it happen.
It really is.
Make it happen, Dan. Maybe we could have a party there. I think that would be another.
Sure. We do the party thing. Not really parties. We have special events at the hotels.
Dan's been known to throw down. I just, you know, I'd like to see it. I wonder if they'll do tours and stuff once the renovation is complete. Could be interesting. All right, moving on. Movie and TV in Atlanta. I think we all know the Hollywood of the South now, and it's all because of the tax credits, and it's also all because Dan is here, and everybody wants to be where Dan Williams is. But
essentially.
Yeah. That's why I'm here. But how much money that brought to Atlanta this year? Fiscal 2012. Anybody guesses? A billion. Okay, good guess.
I wouldn't even begin to imagine.
All right, John... Jeremy's already not following the rules. Talk to the mic, dude. All right. There you go. I love this show.
I had to lean back in my chair to ponder it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it is. It's probably very large.
It is very large. So
every weekend there's a movie being filmed here.
Right. And TV shows, regular TV shows. Okay, I'm going to tell you. $3.1
billion. $3
billion? In 1 year.
Wow.
Fiscal 2012. With the B.
Wow.
With the B.
Wow.
Yeah. Anybody have some favorite shows that are filmed here? Walking Dead? Any Walking Dead fans?
Ooh, yep, Walking Dead.
It's about to come back on, I think, season 3. Is that correct?
It is,
yeah. Walking Dead. Okay. Vampire Diaries, of course. Read Between the Lines from BET. The Game. Let's Stay Together. Family Feud. Single Ladies. Necessary Roughness.
Housewives of Atlanta.
The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Hello.
Can't forget that.
That's
because
huge.
That is in Atlanta.
That'd be hard to film that
and
one
they
somewhere
are Housewives.
Else.
Yeah.
Though it does interest me that like when these shows are set in other, like officially, like you know where they're set. Like for example, Royal Pains, they say films here, I think also on the coast. So it's not just Atlanta, but Georgia on the whole. But Royal Pains, it's on the USA Network. Has anybody watched that show? Okay, well, I'm the only one apparently. But it's a show about a doctor on, you know, in New York on the island. What's the island called? My brain is, I need more coffee.
Long Island?
No, the, you know.
Manhattan?
No, come on, you guys.
Staten Island?
No, where everybody parties and whatever.
Oh, the Hamptons?
Thank you.
Oh,
jeez. I really need to drink more coffee before the show. All right, the Hamptons. And so, but it's set here. So I've always watched that show before I knew it was filmed here and thought like, oh, it's so pretty there. I really want to go there. And guess what? I already live here.
Bam.
So. Bam. Right, down and down.
I've been stumbling on the movies. Living in Fairly Poplar in downtown, it's you know, every weekend I just get out on a Saturday morning and just start walking around my neighborhood because I know I'm going to see a movie.
Yeah.
And the other night I went to watch some football matches and stumbled on Scary Movie 5. That was a good one. And I'm standing out having a drink and one of the ladies from. What was that show with McDreamy? Grey's Anatomy.
Oh yeah,
yeah, right. McDreamy's wife.
Nice.
Walks up to me in a bathrobe.
Nice.
You know.
Hey, what's going
on? Die happy.
Okay. There
the
you
rest
go.
Can't go on the radio.
We'll go off the air for that. Stay tuned, everyone. No kidding. Yeah, there's been some really interesting movies, and a lot of people are getting extra work and production work, and so it's really, I mean, and all the business, all those crews coming into town are spending money in town and all that stuff.
Sure.
So if you're not already aware of it, you know, when you see those little yellow signs tacked to the phone poles or whatever that have arrows, and usually they don't actually say the name of the movie, but they'll have like one word from the title of the movie or some initials or something. If you are a movie buff, just follow those signs and you will find yourself at the production.
And you will get autographs.
And you will get probably thrown off the
set.
Yeah,
but, or arrested.
Or arrested, but,
you know. We just finished filming the internship at our building. They did a extended scene, I guess, some sort of nightclub scene down at the bottom of where our Venetian Room restaurant and catering facility is. And they were there probably about a month, but apparently Owen Wilson was running around with his dog on one of our vacant floors.
Nice.
So, yeah. There was an Owen Wilson sighting.
I love it. And then I was in the movie theater the other day because I've gone out and actually done a few extra gigs just for funsies to see what it's all about. Yeah. And so I'm in a scene and everybody has to see if they can catch it. I swear I'll give you some kind of prize. If you call into this show, I'm not even going to give you the phone number. Email me, dana@businessradiox.com. I was in a scene in the movie that's coming out with Billy Crystal and Bette Midler, very close to the end on a dance floor. Just saying. So if you catch me in that scene.
Boogieing.
Boogieing, okay. Like nobody's business. And the extra that I was dancing with was trying to pick me up. Just saying.
Nice.
We got to get it.
Yeah, so check it out. See if you can find me. All right, moving on. Commuting, MARTA, etc.
Just took the train this morning.
Where do you guys commute from? Well, you just already said you live downtown.
I am a pedestrian. And in fact, I've just done away with my vehicle for a few months just to see if I can do it.
Oh, great.
That's a bold move in Atlanta, young man.
Yes, it is.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Ask me in a few months.
I will do exactly that.
Okay.
All right.
Just walking or do you have a bike?
I have a bike. I have MARTA. I've, you know, four MARTA stops within walking distance of me. So, it can be done.
It can be done. I have lived in other cities without a car, but not this one. So I will see. This is going to be a test. We're going to see how you do. We're going to see what you feel like you're missing.
Right.
All right. On that note, what did you see on your way over here, sir?
Oh, yeah. Woodruff Park, right? I live right across the street from Woodruff Park, so there's always, you know, a spectacle. A week wouldn't go by that there wasn't some sort of spectacle. To this morning, we had a gentleman that put an elliptical machine on the sidewalk, and he was going at it.
Your workout in.
He was getting it in, and he had the headphones on, he had the tracksuit, and he was having a good old time.
And of course, I'm trying to figure out: is that like a protest of something? Is it like a statement on obesity?
Right.
Like what is going on?
I will say this: he looked very serious about what he was doing. I mean, whatever he was doing, he looked just trying to figure out
the logistics. Where he just pulled this out of his back pocket, or
I believe I saw a hand truck.
Okay.
I think he got this down on a hand truck from wherever he, you know, whether it was his car. Maybe he lives in the neighborhood. I mean, it's a gorgeous morning, so I don't blame him for wanting to be exercising outside. Perhaps he has knee problems and can't just run on the sidewalk. But
this begs the question: are there actual laws or statutes or something in place to prevent someone from doing such a thing? And if you were a police officer, perhaps riding by on your horse, what would you do with this gentleman? Would you write him a citation of some kind?
It's true. It's a messy world out there, you know, because we don't want people camping on the sidewalk, but we do want to encourage health. So maybe when we end up with 24/7 people elliptical machining on the sidewalk, we might have to develop an ordinance for that.
I see a small business idea developing right in front of our very eyes.
I love it.
Well,
you can't
really say no fitness equipment, right? Because all those boot camps are out there with fitness equipment. So what's the difference?
I'll put my cards on the table and say I'm for it.
I'm kind of for it too. I could actually see like a whole line of ellipticals, and then you could small business idea. You could charge people like a couple bucks to just get on it. You know,
get
like
to work out in real quick.
Right. You could have like a pay thing on it where you just like put your credit card in, and then you get 20 minutes, and then it shuts off after 20. If you want more, you got to swipe your card again.
I like it.
I think we're all gonna get rich. The idea started right here in this room, people. And if anyone takes it. If we walk by and see ellipticals out there with credit card machines on and it's not one of the four of us, somebody's in trouble.
I'm going to kick my own butt for not having just done it.
For not thinking of it first. I'm just telling you.
For a while, there was a little business in SunTrust Plaza that was doing little nap cocoon, little egg things.
That went away?
I don't know. I haven't been there in a while, but I would imagine it did. but perhaps the demand was there. But you used to pay, and you would get in this little cocoon that had ambient noise, and I think they even pumped some oxygen into this little thing, and you could catch like 15, 20 minutes of Z's and be on your way at lunchtime.
Yeah, I liked them on Facebook, thinking, man, someday I'm really gonna need this. You know, like, I'm just gonna really like I'm gonna realize that I'm across the street from the cocoon of solace, and I'm gonna go over there and be rejuvenated. Yeah, but I just never did.
I don't hate that idea.
It's like $20. It was like $20 an hour.
But what if your boss sees you getting in or out of that? That could be a problem.
And how peaceful would that be?
Outside, like in the city. Yeah. I think that I would be afraid I would fall asleep and like wind up like the whole pod would be moved somewhere else.
You'd wake up at like 4 a.m. and like just like you're still there.
Oh, you're just really paranoid.
I might be.
That never crossed my mind.
Well, that's right where I went. Like I'll fall asleep and I'll end up somewhere else. You know, like I'll end up in the back of a truck. Like
just be aware of people that have hand trucks, you know?
I think you watched the movie Space Camp a few too many times.
You have got me. Yeah. Yeah, I think that might be right. All right. So speaking of commuting, I commute very far. I commute from Midtown down to downtown. And I was thinking this morning as I was driving by, I got really lucky this morning. It took me, I think I timed it 6 minutes, which is what it should take. But some mornings it takes me 30 minutes to go a mile and a half, 25 minutes, 20 minutes. It all depends on the traffic lights, the idiots on the road, you know. And one thing I have noticed when you're I used to live in the suburbs. So we don't have this in the suburbs where people just in the right lane just feel perfectly okay with stopping and putting on their hazards and delivering whatever it is they're delivering. Oh, yeah. You know, they don't do that on Alpharetta Highway. I'm just saying, you know, because they would get arrested or dead. They would get dead. But here it's like FedEx and UPS and, you know, every restaurant delivery truck and mattress firm and everybody is just pulled over on the right side of the road. So if you were, and then the left side is people making left turns. So you can easily get stuck with no lane moving because, yeah.
There's a solution to this, Dana.
Get rid of your car.
Bam.
Bam. But we were talking.
Or just don't use it for your morning commute. I mean, how far were you from
Marta? It's a joke. It's a joke. Okay. I actually tried driving, walking, and taking Marta because I can do all three from where I live, and walking was the fastest.
Wow.
Unless I have a day like today where it took me 6 minutes to drive.
But do you time the MARTA trip? Do you know like when the train gets there?
That's the thing. If I get directly on the train, if I walk down and the train is there, it's
use
like
the website,
super quick.
Get it, figure out when the train's going to get there. And
pretty simple.
Hit it. That's what I do. I usually when I get on MARTA, check the times. And then they're not really, really exact. Maybe get there like two, 3 minutes before they say to be safe. But, yeah, that way you're not, like, getting there right as the train just left and you're waiting 15
minutes. Yeah, but I like the roulette of it because, like, I go downstairs in the train station and, like, I see the little sign and it says, like, train coming in 1 minute. And I'm like, yes!
Not everything is a game.
Oh, right. My life is a success now.
Yeah, that's right. If I walk down there and it's like I see the train pulling out, I just missed it, I'm like, ugh, you know, right. It's going to be a good day or a bad day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I want to give up that game. I enjoy that game.
I caught the 8:27 train from Brookhaven, and I know it takes 18 minutes to get here, and got off at Peachtree Center here, knew I could walk across the street, and had it all timed to a T.
Wow.
Because, you know, the train is pretty reliable.
Yeah.
You can check everything out on the website. Just got to make sure. The one problem is just going north, whether it's the red line or the gold line.
But, right.
You know, I got that thing down to a T. And
so you—that's awesome. Your commute every day. You do MARTA.
I'm the guy who roll. Like I see people run into the train from the parking lot because they think, "Oh, it's coming any minute," and I'm just strolling. Or I'm the dude running, and there's people strolling, and I walk up. I usually hit the platform, and the train's coming.
Y'all are motivating me.
So now, where do you commute from, Sarah Elizabeth?
Southwest Atlanta.
Okay,
yeah, so you could Midtown Buckhead.
All right,
so I y'all are encouraging me.
So you could do the MARTA thing.
I could.
All right. I know, but this is where this next story comes up. The reason I brought this whole thing up is that there's been an audit of MARTA by an independent group, KPMG, and they have concluded in a 114-page report, which I would not like to read, that MARTA is going to exhaust its reserves by 2018 and therefore needs to make more money. And they are suggesting alternate revenue sources as opposed to just fare hikes. And what they are suggesting is more aggressive advertising, which I'm okay with, and paying for parking at the MARTA stations. And Dan and I were talking about this briefly before we got on the air, and we don't think that's a good idea.
I didn't write a 114-page report, so I won't profess to be a you know, an expert on MARTA proper and their financing proper, I will say that getting people to MARTA, as we've just discussed, is a challenge in and of itself. And then you charge people to park and then charge them to get on the train. I would like to think that we could figure out some other sets of financing ahem the state of Georgia. Let's get it out on the table. We're the only we have the only public transit system in the entire country, rail transit system, that is not financed by the state. The only one. So, you know, we don't want to get too political here, but let's just get real that before we, but we have, yeah, now we go into, you know, political talk radio here. Now,
see, I told you I'd get them riled up.
JK,
his face is turning red.
You know, before we make people pay to park in MARTA lots, let's think about, the reality. Is this a public good that we want to support? Is this something that makes our city better, that it grows our economy, that enhances our quality of life? And is Atlanta the economic engine of the state?
Well, we talked about this too. I mean, one of the things about it is that, yeah, it would be great if the state were involved. I'm all for that. And I also am not an expert certainly on public transportation or on anything, frankly. But the parking here is so reasonable. Like, people are in Atlanta have no idea. People complain about what it costs to park here. It's a joke. Like, I was in Boston
Chicago.
Thank you. I was in Boston a couple weeks ago, and I took a picture because Elizabeth and I were looking around at some property, and we were looking at what it would cost to park because we have a really good deal right now. We have free parking where we are. So, yeah, it's a really good deal. But so we were looking around at other places. We know that's not going to be the case if we move and et cetera, et cetera. So, I took a picture and I sent it to her on my phone of monthly parking in Boston, $300 a month.
Wow.
And that was like advertised like it was a deal, you know? So I'm sure there's plenty of lots where it's way more than that. So that's like nothing what we pay here compared to that. And, you know, we were saying there are lots here, $4, $5 a day, and MARTA's $5 a day. So if I can be in my air conditioned car listening to my tunes, coming down here for $5 for the whole day, yep, versus taking MARTA, why, unless I'm just really determined to be green or, you know, I don't want to put the mileage on my car or whatever, what's the incentive to take MARTA?
Sure.
So I think, you know, I agree that I think one of the things that has to happen is the parking rates need to go up.
Well, and I think that you'll likely see this, whether it's in the, you know, near term or the next 10 years. At some point, we're really going to have to look at that, what the city is collecting from parking garages and yeah, because if parking is cheaper than transit, it's you know, it's basic economics. People are going to choose the parking, and then it kind of comes down to do we need other revenue sources to pay for our transportation needs? But also, what kind of city do we want to be? Do we want to be a city that continues to encourage people to drive for everything they do, or do we want to create a city where we, you know, encourage people to walk and take transit and bike? And live near those options, and I obviously, you know where I stand on that question, but
we'll all be over for after the show for some coffee,
right?
Walking over to your place.
You know, I think other cities use their spaces and public transportation for advertising, to increase revenue.
There's a lot of real estate there, and
valuable. Well,
my friends in the arts community would tell you there's a lot of real estate there for other types of uses of that space as well. You know, public performances and more public art places, ways to make these this space come alive and make them
revenue.
If you go to New York, you know, some of these train stations are, you know, you actually go and take in a performance at a train station and, you know, see some really amazing art. So why can't we do that here? And of course, and the advertising piece is probably there too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and there is advertising on MARTA, but there could be more for sure. That wouldn't be even more intrusive. More. Who cares? Like, you're sitting on the train. It's something to look at while you're on there, you know, or you're waiting around in the station. I don't mind that.
Right.
You don't want it to be super junky, but you can do it in a classy way.
Getting a little
way.
Tired of all the for-profit universities, but that's another. That seems to be all I see on MARTA. I'd like to see something else. But.
Yeah. That's a whole other show, Dan.
That's a whole other show.
But also, just as a note about this, I thought some of the things they discovered in terms of why MARTA is struggling so much financially is that, one, MARTA is saddled with annual retirement costs of $22 million more than the national average.
Wow.
For similar organizations. So that was kind of interesting. They also say that high rates of employee absenteeism are costing the agency $11 million a year. $11 million a year. But to just to say the other side of that, they also have not given the employees raises for a couple years, I don't think. 5 years. 5 years. So I would be absent too if they never gave me a raise. So it's a tough call. I think the whole thing needs to kind of be shaken and stirred. And
Yeah, I think you know we'll see some leadership changes, obviously, this current CEO stepping down. So we will have to watch this space, because they're, obviously things will have to change, and we know they will. So
yeah, good things are coming.
Yep. I hope they do, because I was just at the Marta the other day and I took a picture. There was a couple benches and someone had placed next to a stone bench like a permanent sign, so you couldn't actually sit on the bench. The sign was in the way, so it was like it didn't, you really couldn't even look at the sign, because if you had been placed differently, you could have been sitting and looking at the sign, but as it was, you couldn't really see the sign and you couldn't sit on the bench. And so hopefully Marta will change its leadership to where it is a little bit better, and hopefully they don't do anything with the parking, because I don't want to disincentivize anybody using it.
Right. So you took a picture of this crazy scenario.
Got on my phone if you want to see it, Lou.
And did you – this is why I wish we were on TV right now, because we could put it up on the screen if people were watching, you know. And what did you do with the picture? Did you
just posted it on Facebook and said this is kind of ridiculous, Marta.
Yeah.
You should
tweet it to Marta.
Well, I'm not on Twitter, but
excuse me.
I'm not the social maven that you are. But.
I barely can manage this stuff, and even I am on Twitter. I'm just saying. And tweeting stuff at people is like really a way to get – it really works. Like, I've tweeted customer service problems to people, and it works. They will get right back in touch with you. So, I mean, if you tweeted that at Marta, send it to me. I'll tweet it at Marta for you.
Fair enough.
Okay. We'll take care of that off the air. Okay.
I'm not on Twitter either.
Oh, my God. Are you on Twitter, Sarah Elizabeth?
I don't think my brain moves that quickly.
Really.
Oh, my. Yeah. But you have an account.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So all right.
I feel like I just got shot an icy dagger in my heart there.
No, and I'm not even a big believer in all this stuff. Believe me. I'm the oldest one in the room, I think, and I am not – I struggle with what the purpose of all this, dare I say, crap is, but I do it just because I feel like you kind of have to do it in this economy and to stay, you know, in touch and current. And I will say I have found, I do use it for some stuff that I think is sort of silly, but I really have gotten great results when I want to complain. Yeah. And now that you guys have been around me for 27 minutes, you know I like to complain. And speaking of complaining, people were complaining a little bit, Dan. At least the people that read Travel and Leisure magazine, because Atlanta was named the 5th dirtiest city in the recent Travel and Leisure magazine poll. We talked about this a little bit before we got on the air as well, and I'm actually kind of proud of that, not going to lie.
The other four?
Yes.
Yeah, let's start from the top.
Let's see if we can guess the dirtiest city in the country.
New Orleans is in there.
New Orleans is number 2.
New York.
New York is number 1. Ding, ding. You guys are good. This was a game show. You'd be winning
money. Three's got to be L.A.
L.A. is number 4.
Okay.
So you're missing number 3 now, and it's obscure a little bit.
Yeah.
Number 3.
This is like Family Feud.
I know.
Holy cow.
Whatever. Same thing. It's good that you actually knew that, though, what show that was from. Number three is Baltimore.
Oh.
And there were people writing in, I can't believe Detroit didn't make the list and all that.
I was going to say that, but...
I don't really mind, because I don't think that's that big a deal. I don't think Atlanta's that dirty. Now, Dan, defend the downtown area, because I don't think it's downtown, right?
Yeah, do your best, Dan. Yeah, do your best.
Well, we certainly got calls from media when this... this piece of news, I'm putting air quotes news, came out, and it's interesting, the things just being the central city, that having we obviously it's important that we we're recognized, the downtown area is recognized, so we're happy that the media thinks of us anytime there's air quotes news, but this is a very big city, and so we're when the media calls us to give to give the statement about why Atlanta is the 5th dirtiest city in the country, however valid that objective opinion is, we kind of said, look, why are you talking to us? We have a clean team. We have people that are out every day cleaning up. Most hours of the day, you can find guys running around downtown in red shirts, cleaning up, and they're paid for by the business community that's committed to keeping downtown clean. Midtown has a similar operation. I know Buckhead has similar operations. So, you know, we're actively all actively working to keep the city clean. I think people would be, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, these things kind of fade in the background, and we don't want them to be the first thing that people see when they come to the city. But the reality is that we've got a lot of people and a lot of resources devoted to keeping a city, because cities are not easy to keep clean. They're not places that are just, they don't clean themselves.
Right. And every day we have new restaurants, new businesses, new people moving into the city. So naturally, there's more of everything.
Also, can you just picture, like, I can sort of picture a YouTube video of, like, a guy being pulled, asking the questions, and, like, literally smoking and dropping a cigarette on the ground and, like, dropping his litter.
He's answering.
And, and then being like, it's dirty here. You know, as he's the one.
And disgusting. To the cigarette thing, if you guys noticed, Woodruff Park, we're, like, we are serious about this new smoking ban.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I sat there the other morning having a cup of coffee, and, you know, two guys are sitting there smoking a cig, and, you know, people, you know, the ambassadors are on them, you know, and we mean it, you know. It's bad. We want to set a public health standard, but we also want to, you know, we want to keep these parks clean.
And they did say in this news report that, this air quote news report, that the public ban on smoking in parks is actually will probably help the survey next year. So that just went into effect. And so and then also they did say that people like Atlanta's quote unquote genteel shopping, and they like the messy barbecue here in Atlanta. Well, I think it means, because, you know, I'm from the Northeast originally, and when you walk into a store in the Northeast, people don't greet you. They don't ask you if they can help you. And in fact, if they do, and you're a New Yorker, you're like, no, buzz off. I'm looking.
Right, but here, when they don't, you're kind of offended.
Correct. Right. Here are people, the sales clerks at Southern Hospitality, Southern Charm, you know, they do walk up to you and ask if you need help. And it's a different experience for the Northerners and Europeans and whatever. So, all right. So we're going to improve. Next year, we'll be sixth.
We're getting better.
Yeah, that's right.
I would just be a smart ass. If someone asked me, like, you know, how do you feel about being fifth, you know, in fifth dirtiest city in the country, I'd be like, well, we're better than L.A.
That's right.
Better than New York.
That's right.
So take that.
Take that. Right.
A good point.
Right.
Or we strive to be number one. You know, I'm going outside right now with my trash can because we strive to be number one. That's right. I also don't mind in general, but I also have said I like to play devil's advocate a little bit. And as it relates to the smoking ban, I guess I'm all for it, but I do feel a little bad for smokers. You know, I'm an ex-smoker, and it's been years since I've smoked, and so, yay, I'm healthier.
I don't know how anyone affords it anymore.
Well, it's true. It is expensive. But also, like, now there's nowhere left you can do it. It's really, there's nowhere left. So I do kind of feel bad. If you're hooked and you just want a place to, like, enjoy your little cigarette,
so get one of those little e-cigarette things now, those little water vapor ones.
Yeah, that's what people just need to do.
Smoke those anywhere. I mean, well, if they want their nicotine.
It's a little weird looking, though, right? When people smoke those, don't you think?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I guess.
Kind of a little
smoking
weird.
Is weird looking, you know.
I guess I'm just used to that.
If we have some aliens come down to the world today, I think that's one of the things they're going to be like, really?
Like, what is that?
It doesn't, like, you know, that you, it doesn't give you nourishment. It kills you.
It kills people near you.
Right.
I never thought about it from that perspective, but I think that's very interesting. I could also see a YouTube video on that. Just saying.
Aliens
watching people smoke and reacting to it. Okay, moving on. Let's get to our guests. So, Sarah Elizabeth, let's start with you. You are from National Church Residences.
Yes, very happy to be here. Sarah Elizabeth Langford from National Church Residences, and I'm here to talk about really an exciting project for a segment of our community that is often overlooked. We have partnered with National Church Residences, has partnered with Columbia Residential to totally rehab the Imperial Hotel. The Imperial on Peachtree, everyone knows, a historic, I guess it was built in 1911, I think, as a traveling...
Give people some landmarks, just so they... You know, yeah. People might, yeah. I know people will know where it is if you give them some landmarks.
Isn't it, like, right when you come across the highway?
Yeah, like Ivan Allen, SunTrust Plaza's right there. There's a little pool hall almost across the street.
Max Loggers.
Is right there, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can picture the sign. I feel like that's...
The Imperial, yeah, that you can see from the highway.
Yeah.
The Imperial Hotel.
Sure.
Ivan Allen Boulevard, as I said. And as I said, an old historic hotel, We have partnered with Columbia Residential to totally redo it and house homeless individuals with on-site services. So really, it's just an exciting, a great example of really the entire Atlanta and really Georgia state community coming together, the state of Georgia through their tax credit program, the city of Atlanta, two local developers, National Church Residences and Columbia Residential, really trying to revive this property for homeless individuals. So it's exciting. I'm just kind of glad to share the news with you guys.
So what was going on in that building in the past? So obviously it was a hotel at one point. Then what happened?
And obviously, since it was built so early, 1900s, it was extremely old. It was rehabbed about 1994, right before the Atlanta Olympics, to house some vulnerable individuals with different medical issues, a few formerly homeless individuals. And just in the struggling economic times, just was having difficulties. You know, there was high utility cost, and it's because of a historic building. It was expensive to run the building. And so instead of shutting it down and closing it, we wanted to preserve this asset in our community and rehab it for individuals that really need this type of supportive housing.
So tell me a little bit about the plan for it. How long is it going to take? What's going to be in there? Yeah, right. Give me the details.
Well, we have relocated everyone who was living in the building. So we helped them each get new residences. And we're finishing up on our closing of all the financial and detail aspects of it. And then we will begin the intensive rehab in a couple months, maybe December. And it'll take about 12 to 14 months. And we'll reopen basically early 2014. And will be a beautiful building. I can't wait to take on a tour of it.
Sure. Yeah. I got to see some renderings and pictures of what they've done. I think in Ohio the other day.
Oh yes, exactly.
And
right.
It was, this company. I think I think she's being somewhat modest. These are places that unless you have really, really, really high standards of where you want to live. I mean, they are really nice.
Yeah.
I can just imagine what it's like for someone who has been homeless, living in shelters, that gets an opportunity to live in a place like this, and what it would do for them and their psyche,
exactly.
Their sense of motivation, and what they can do with their lives. I mean, this is absolutely the kind of thing. CAP is really excited about this project, and that's why I wanted to get you guys on the air today, because we really want to start telling the story, because this is the kind of organization, the kind of project that we really see as this is what could be a future, and this could help us. We've stopped using the word end homelessness, but significantly impact is what the city is saying, because we know that we may not be able to end homelessness ever, but we realize that
we can
do a lot better. Right. We can do a lot better than we have, and it starts with empowering people, giving them that hand up, and saying, "Look, this is what you can have if you play by the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, if you work through the process of addressing your problems, and mm-hmm. Et cetera, et cetera." And so, just kudos to you guys, and want to continue to watch this space, and hopefully, watch this be a really successful project.
How does someone get selected to live there?
You will go through the Atlanta Housing Authority. They were another, as I mentioned, city and state partnerships. The Atlanta Housing Authority have been extremely supportive through their what's called homeless demonstration program. So if you're an individual who has lived on the street and has battled some issues with chronic homelessness, perhaps a disability or an addiction, you would go through different service providers like United Way, the Atlanta Housing Authority, to see if you're eligible for this housing and then move in, and stabilize your life.
Obviously, maybe not obviously, but if you're, a homeless guy with an addiction problem and you're on the street, you're not like running around looking for programs, because you're just not in the mindset to do that. So are there people
right.
out on the streets that are sort of going to these
there
homeless
are.
People, sort of recruiting them, if
yeah,
you will?
It's really, really impressive. I worked with Proteet Biswa from United Way, and they literally have street teams of people like all of us who would go under the bridges to different areas of the city and talk to homeless people where they are. And I went with them a few times, and it was really amazing. There was one guy who said, I go to work every day, but my salary isn't really enough for housing, so I shower in the bathroom at work and come here and live under a bridge, and I pay to house myself, my stuff, in some storage. So there are street teams that go out and target them where they are and say, if you need a decent place that's that's a little bit less affordable, a voucher from the housing authority. If you have some addiction problems, here, let me take you on a bus to this program. So there's a lot of outreach.
Sure. Interesting. Sure.
Yep. We've really got some great organizations in Atlanta, and I think, you know, there's a couple that make headlines a lot, and sometimes for not the best reasons, but 90% of the organizations that we have in this community are doing really great work, and you know, we as CAP, the city, the business community, you know, the resident community, we really you know, we really support this kind of thing. We know we see it every day. We know we have problems, and we want to find solutions, you know, that go beyond just, you know, basic, the bare bones basic housing, which we know doesn't work.
Well, and I think the fact that it's right in downtown also, I mean, to get people, help people get jobs and get work. I mean, there's work to be had here.
Yeah.
So that seems like a really positive thing as well.
And we want to encourage the rest of, you know, I think the downtown community. I think we get a little bit, you know, I think we get a little bit frustrated because this is a big region. There's a lot of places where, you know, you could build, you know, a project like this in Gwinnett County or, you know, or North Fulton and other places. There's no reason why we have to house folks, you know, the homeless community just in downtown and provide them services just in downtown.
Right.
But in so much as we have the opportunity in places like the Imperial Hotel and places where we can, you know, we can provide the kind of services and the kind of environments that'll help them, you know, get to that next level here, you know, we're, you know, more than glad to see it.
And if it's like a quality project and the building is really upkept. So I guess my other question, you talked about the building being rehabbed earlier, but being expensive to run and maintain, is that going to be a problem with the new development?
Well, we're redoing the whole entire building. So that means new building systems, a new model of actually running the building. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So it actually will be more affordable to actually operate from an owner standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that seems pretty important. You don't want to fix it up and have the same problem again.
Exactly. And that's kind of where the partners come to the table. National Church Residences really specializes in this type of housing, supportive housing. As you said, we have a lot of beautiful developments in Ohio, so we're kind of experts in this field.
Right.
And Columbia Residential is really an expert in terms of rehabbing and making a building look beautiful after it's, you know, very old building.
So. Now, Dan, do any of the neighbors, I mean, I know whenever there's a project like this where homeless
backyard.
Right. I mean, are people expressing any concern?
No, because I haven't really talked to the ADNA or the downtown residents about this project specifically, but I can't imagine that there would be, because anybody that lives downtown realizes that we have a serious street homelessness problem. So if it's an organization that is working to get people on their feet and towards self-sufficiency, then I think people are going to be supportive of it. I think the thing that people are not supportive of is our efforts that enable people to stay on the street. And I'm talking about efforts like street feedings.
Yeah.
Where we have people that will just come up and out of the goodness of their heart and out of, you know, pure altruism, will daily, you know, this happens daily, several times a day, where people will open up the trunk of their car and they will start making sandwiches and you know, this kind of thing, and handing them out. And they think they're doing the right thing, and many times they're coming from the suburbs or somewhere where they don't deal with these kind of issues, you know, face to face every day. And so they're and they think they're doing the right thing, but the reality is that they're enabling people to stay dependent on these kind of things. So I mean, you could pretty much live on the street of Atlanta and walk around and wait for somebody to do that every single day and eat 4 to 5 meals a day, and never go and get services that help you address your problems,
right.
And which is really what we want people to do. We want people to go in the direction of self-sufficiency.
If you've got a list of where they're handing out that kind of stuff, let me know. I'm trying to cut down on my lunch budget.
Yeah, I know, right? Sometimes it's pretty tasty food too, I hear. So, but I think, you know, from the city's perspective, it causes a lot of public health problems, sanitation issues, and it's not safe for the folks themselves that are receiving this food. You know, there's been a lot of cases of foodborne illness that come from this, because you got food sitting outside in the sun. Some people have certain dietary issues, and they, you know, they're just being fed what people give them, and they end up in trouble that way. So.
You know, I always thought, I always feel bad walking past a homeless person and not giving them money or whatever. I've always struggled with that ever since I can remember. I grew up in a, you know, urban area, not Atlanta. I grew up in Philadelphia, and, you know, there's plenty of homeless people there. And I always felt bad, but, you know, I, somewhere along the line, I think I thought through it and I just felt like it was the wrong thing to do. Like I would, because it's the same idea, whether it's food or money, or if you're giving, if you're encouraging them to stay where they are because they can make a living, essentially, even not a good one, but still. And I also remember the few times that I did do it, I would see that same person smoking cigarettes or with, you know, a little bottle in a brown paper bag or whatever. And so then I'm like, well, why am I supporting that? Mm-hmm. But I wish there would be some way. So I'll just put this to you, Sarah Elizabeth. Maybe you can come up with this, where you could give offices in the local area where there's a problem or apartment buildings, something that they could actually hand to the homeless people that would lead them to the right, like a token or a,
like,
you know,
a
where
brochure, like, or, go here,
right, or like a token that they could go cash in for soup, or, you know what I mean, at the shelter, or, you know what I mean, so that, like, you're still giving them something. You're like, look, I'm making an effort, I want to help you, but here, and this
it
is where you need to go.
Work on their part.
We gotta think.
Sure, yeah, I just think there would be an interesting, you know, because people ideas, do want to help.
Yeah,
those ideas have been floated around, and we think they're great. We've obviously the Give Change That Makes Sense, the giving meters, you've probably seen. We've just recently had those rehabbed by Park Atlanta and Park Atlanta, but they have they're, you know, they're partners on this, and they have the ability to you know, to keep these meters up, and they've painted them red, and the idea is that people pass them and they see that message, and they have the opportunity to give if they want, but it also gives them the message that, hey, give, you know, quote unquote, that's our slogan is give change that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to hand somebody a quarter because you don't know what's gonna, that quarter is going to do. But if you give it to the Gateway Center, if you give it to National Church Residences, if you give it to somebody that's actually going to, you know, provide the long-term support for these people, you're actually doing something to help solve the problem of hunger and homelessness.
Yeah, I just think it would be, I'm all for that. And I mean, like you said, I'm sure lots of ideas have been tossed around. I just know that when that person is standing in front of you saying, can you help me with dinner? Or can you spare a quarter, that you want to, like, you're looking somebody in the eye. I mean, some of them are too aggressive and I just want to be like, no, buzz off. But other people, you know, you do want to do something and you want to do the right thing. So it'd be nice if there was something you could hand to them that was okay was the right thing to do. All right. Before we run out of time, let's talk about the beautiful Hurt Building with Jeremy from Boxer Properties.
It is a beautiful building.
It is a beautiful building.
We're coming up on our centennial celebration next year. The building was started in 1913. We purchased the building, I guess, about 7 months ago. Boxer Properties, based out of Houston. Most of our portfolio is based out of Texas, Austin, Dallas, those areas. Atlanta has been on their radar for a little while. They finally saw the opportunity with the Hurt Building, and we've planted a flag here with the intention to, you know, penetrate the market a little bit more with some other buildings. You know, we're a value-add company, so we buy buildings that have struggled in some way. You know, for instance, with the Hurt Building, high vacancy. When we purchased the building, it was right about 50% occupied.
What was the problem? Why was that? Because it's a beautiful building. It's kind of got that corner thing going that iconic building in New York has.
We get that comment a lot, that it feels like a New York building because, I mean, it's an older building.
Right.
I mean, it was designed that way, one, because of the parcel of land being triangular in shape, but also you know, for airflow and for light, because, you know, back in the day when it was built, they didn't have, you know, fluorescent lighting. There was no HVAC. So in order to, you know, get breezes coming through the building and also have light so people could work, you had to have a lot of windows, and that's why the building is shaped the way it is. You know, at one point it was the 17th largest skyscraper in the world. Now it's, you know, not even the 17th largest in Atlanta.
Right.
So, you know, it's been a long time.
So it just wasn't updated in terms of the amenities and things like that. And so is that why the vacancy was so low, do you think?
Yeah, the previous ownership came in, they bought too high, you know, the typical real estate kind of cycle.
Right.
And they didn't put money into the space. So, you know, some of the floors are, you know, they were old. Some of the carpeting in there is kind of funny to me. It's this purple with these old.
Very 80s.
Yes, very 80s, which isn't what a lot of people who are tenants, corporate tenants, are looking for these days.
Sure.
They want a much more clean, kind of crisp look. You know, I mean, look at Buckhead. Everyone wants glass. So we're not Buckhead. We're not trying to be Buckhead. But we are coming in and making some capital improvements to the building, dropping a lot of money into it just to update it.
Right.
You know, going through all the floors and adding new carpet and paint just to clean it up, and going through where, you know, a lot of stuff hadn't been touched in years, like mechanical rooms, things like that. We're about to do an elevator upgrade so the elevators work better. You know, we're in negotiations now for a restaurant there. It used to be a great restaurant, from what I understand. The City Grill was down there where the Venetian Room is. We're talking about having extended services there for breakfast and lunch. You know, we're right there in the heart of kind of GSU.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of GSU ants running around that building.
So also got some people the other day doing a pedestrian counting. Tell us about that.
That was Gail Glass, our business development manager, and I. We have, you know, besides that one restaurant, we also have another restaurant, and just for marketing purposes, because Hurt Plaza doesn't get a lot of car traffic, which is in retail real estate, that's, you know, you can say, oh, we should put a coffee shop here because there's 40,000 cars a day. Well, we don't have a lot of cars there because it's no car. It's not a threat.
But lots of pedestrians.
Over 16,000 that day.
Wow.
Pedestrians.
Oh, my God.
And
did you have a clicker or something?
We got Georgia State Real Estate Club to we got them to come out there and do the legwork.
A lot of cups of coffee.
A lot of six packs of beer.
Right, yeah.
But
hey, you know.
But with their great help, I mean, we broke down by half hour increments in traffic in both directions, and you know, they were able to tell us, you know, between this time and this time, this little half hour increment, there was over 1,600 people at several different half hour increments. So I mean, there's some serious flow there, which is great for potential retail in that corridor. I mean, it's good for us. You know, what may happen with our existing restaurants. But, you know, there's also, I think, an untapped potential right around that whole Woodruff Park area, in my opinion, that, you know, maybe someone can figure it out. I mean, obviously summer months are tough when school's out, but, I mean, there's a lot of foot traffic there. And with the increasing security, you know, with GSU police, et cetera, I think there's a potential there for downtown.
Well, also, not to be like stating the obvious, but as you guys fill the building, obviously I've been in there and I've taken the tour and I've seen some of the renovated space, and it's beautiful and very affordable for small companies coming in, and small and mid-size that are definitely looking for downtown space and a really great building and a downtown address and all of that. So once that building goes from 50% to 100%, then you got all those people that are going to be eating and shopping and whatever downtown as well. So, you know, not to state the obvious, but if people do want space there, there is still space available, correct?
Definitely space available. And our model caters to smaller tenants, smaller businesses that are looking to grow. We're flexible in our lease terms, as far as growth. So, it's what we've done across the board since 1992. We've been in business for 20 years catering to smaller tenants and helping them grow. And, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for small tenants anywhere from a single office, you know, all the way up to, you know, 4 or 5 person suite.
Right.
You know, if you want to come get a full floor, I'd be glad for that too. But,
right.
You know, we do cater to smaller tenants.
So if people want to see the property, or consider it for office space, how do they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 404-688-7368. It's also posted on some signs on the building. And they can also look up boxerproperty.com, where they can get a full listing of all our floor plans and available suites. So we're out there. You can do a Google search. We'll pop up on there. I mean, it's hard to miss Boxer Property.
Right. Boxer Property, Hurt Building. So Google it. Call Jeremy. I'll take you around. It's great. And Sarah Elizabeth, if people want to get involved in the Imperial Hotel renovation, if they want to donate, if they just want to know more about what's going on, how do they do that?
They can contact me, 404-788-0528, or they can look at our website, nationalchurchresidences.org.
Okay. Now, I know we didn't talk about this in great detail, but is there a religious aspect to this? Do you have to be a churchgoer to participate?
It sounds like it, but no. Our name kind of confuses people. We actually are a housing developer that was started by some pastors, but now we're not a faith-based organization at all. We have a mission that we go after, and it's kind of focused on godly principles, but you don't have to be
often work with faith-based organizations, as I understand it, that have properties but that can no longer,
that is something
based
that we've
on,
done.
Yeah, based on certain factors, no longer keep up those properties and make them efficiently run. So that's where National Church Residences come in and with their business model and make these properties stand on their own. So
that's some really awesome stuff going on. And I'd love to see in both cases, I mean, obviously what you guys are doing with the buildings that you're talking about are two completely different things, but they are sort of taking buildings that were sort of built for one purpose at one time and reusing them, which I love to see. I mean, one of the sort of downsides of Atlanta sometimes is that it's all new buildings and we don't really preserve our history here. So it's nice to see
that
we're
doing great thing
that.
About downtown. You know, we've got the history here. We've got we're trying to use the word authenticity more because we really think it's here.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of giving some of these places a little bit of love and, you know, and finding the right purpose, the right niche for them.
Well, and I also think in both of these cases, you know, having companies come in and do this that have done it before and that know what they're doing, it's not just a couple people with a good idea, but they don't really know how to execute. I mean, in both cases, you're talking about companies that know how to execute. So I just think that's really positive for the city. So thank you, Dan, for bringing these wonderful guests to us.
Thanks, Dan, for having us.
And before we wrap up totally, tell me what's going on in downtown that we need to know about.
Well, I know we're running out of time, so I will just mention downtown. We've got a lot of things, but Downtown Development Day is coming up November 7th, and it's the morning after the election, so we already know some people are going to come really happy, and some people are going to come, you know, not so happy.
Pissed off.
Yeah, but you know, hopefully we will give them something else to think about. Development Day is an annual event. It's going to be about 600 people, real estate, finance, law, civic, a lot of just people that are interested in the development of the central city. So we hope that everyone that is interested in any of those areas, interested in what's going on downtown and what the future holds, will come out. And if you want some information, just go to our website, click on Do Business, the tab that says Do Business and Downtown Development Day.
Awesome. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for us. Of course, I want to, again, thank Sarah Elizabeth Langford from National Church Residences and Jeremy Koppel from Boxer Property and Dan Williams for last minute sitting in and co-hosting with me.
It's good fun.
Yeah, it's always good fun here. And of course, I want to thank our sponsor, World Trade Center Atlanta. To learn more about them, you'll go to WTCAtlanta.com. And of course, as always, you're listening to BusinessRadioX.com, where we are a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress, where you can learn everything you need to know about that at AtlantaDowntown.com. And you're going to want to stay tuned for our show coming up next, which is going to be a special edition of Chic Perspectives. We will see you this time next week. Thanks, everybody.